Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's talk some Orioles baseball with Brittany Giroli, who covers the O's for MLB.com, Orioles.com. And good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. Let's start with the positive. It was nice to see Jonathan Scope, the lone Oriole All-Star, show himself well on the national stage.
Yeah, I thought he did really well. Like you said, I think he's the third Oriole in the last couple of years, joining Jones and Machado, who's doubled in an All-Star game. So always good because you're on that national stage. People watching that game aren't really familiar with a lot of the Orioles, especially a guy like Jonathan Scope. So it was really nice for him to be able to make a couple plays and, of course, double and score that first run.
Let's talk about important stuff like the home run derby. Have you seen anybody? Because other baseball players, there were other players talking, they've never seen power like Aaron Judge before.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a little bit of it, to be completely honest, but you really didn't need to because that guy hits the ball that hard every time you see him. Every time I watch the Yankees, every time they play the Orioles or I happen to turn on highlights, mm-hmm. and just seeing him live as well a few times already this year, the ball just jumps off of his bat. And you talk to scouts and people around baseball, they'll tell you the same thing. He's a football player basically playing baseball. And it's kind of scary, the amount of power he has. So, honestly, I wasn't surprised that he won. I wasn't surprised with really anything that he's been able to do. To me, that's kind of the product of you look at some of these guys playing football and you wonder what would have happened had they gone the baseball route. Well, Aaron Judge is a good example. He's a guy that people thought was maybe too big for the game, but he's not. He has just insane power, and he's really fun to watch.
He's fun to watch. And I'm telling you, he had 300 over 500 feet. He hit the dome. It was just ridiculous. And he didn't look like he was getting tired. Other people were getting gassed, and their arms getting tired. They were breathing hard. He just was smiling. It just effortless power. Just fun to watch.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's fun to watch. He really is. I don't care what team he plays for. He's an exciting young player. I think it's good for the game. Perhaps it kind of paves the way for other kids who look like him or, you know, that are told they're too big for baseball to kind of pursue this because it's really fun. He's an exciting young guy to watch.
Brittany, before the season started, what were your expectations for the Orioles, and has this first half surprised you? Can they be better in the second half?
Well, it was a weird first half, no? I mean, in April they were like really, really good. And then they were okay. Then they were really, really bad. So, I mean, I didn't think they were going to be as good as they were in April. I was completely shocked with how well they started, how well they pitched. To me, it was a big surprise. And similarly, the last few weeks, I don't think they're as bad of a team as they've played for most of the past 3 or 4 weeks. But I think it's somewhere in the middle ground where they lie. And fortunately, this division is so close. You look at the National League, and basically, teams are out. There's only a couple teams that are really kind of fighting within striking distance for those wild cards. And I think when you look at the American League, it's the total opposite. So the Orioles, fortunately, have played some really bad baseball and are still in it. They're still, I think, 4 games out of the wild card. So I think they will be better in the second half. That bullpen should be better now that they've got Zach Britton back. The expectation is Chris Davis is coming back, hopefully on Friday when the season starts, the second half. So I think they'll be better, but I also think that there's no mistaking here. This pitching staff needs upgrades. They need to go out and make moves if they're going to stay in it. I think if they just hold serve and hold on, they might get lucky enough to get a wild card game. And again, they can't pitch well enough to go deep in the postseason. So they're kind of in an interesting spot. Do they go for it? Do they not? I think a lot of it's going to depend on how they play over these next couple weeks leading up to that August 1st trade deadline.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. They're facing the Cubs for 3, the Rangers for 4, and then the Astros for 3, then down to Tampa. In that 10-game stretch, if they're like 7-3 or 4-6, you know, how does this change the mindset, or does it?
I think it changes it a lot, honestly. And unfortunately, you don't like to take 2 weeks out of the season and kind of have it change things. But if they go on a nice little run, and those are tough teams, too.
Yeah,
so it's not like they're just steamrolling over the Giants and the Padres. Those are tough teams. So I think if they do end up going out of that second half and playing better, it certainly gives them hope to the fact that maybe they would make a move or two at the deadline. But if they come out of the break and they go 3-7 or 2-8 and just don't look like there's any end in sight, continue to kind of free fall here, I think you kind of have to look at, okay, what are we doing in the future? This isn't working. So I think this is a really pivotal kind of 2.5-3 week stretch for them because, again, they're 4 back on that wild card. Okay, well, you can't be, you know, 8 back by August 1st. That's not really a scenario that you want to be in with that many teams up above you and really kind of taking it out of your hands. So it's really going to depend on how they come out of this second half. In my opinion, it'll really dictate the fate for them the entire season.
Talking to Brittany Girelli, covers the Orioles for Orioles.com. Brittany, just your opinion, but why is it where in baseball it seems like teams are so interested in the international market? Do the Orioles seem so disinterested with spending internationally?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dan Duquette has admitted before that they're not allowed to. I think that just kind of goes with the organization and the principles that kind of predated him. But I'm pretty sure he has said on the record that it's not something they're interested in. It's something they've been told that they really can't get involved in. So that's pretty much all I know about that. But it places a lot of emphasis elsewhere on bringing in talent. And unfortunately, it puts them at really a pretty substantial disadvantage, in my opinion.
The organization does know that there are a lot of good foreign-born players in Major League Baseball, though, correct?
I mean, I'm not in the Orioles organization, so you'd have to talk to somebody who is. I really can't answer that question, but yeah, I mean, I would assume so.
I mean, 28% of the league is Latin now. And, of course, then you get the Pacific Rim players. It seems very odd to just kind of hamstring yourself from finding the best players. I don't get it at all.
I don't either. But I'm pretty sure Duquette's been on the record about the fact that they can't do that or won't do that, or there's been kind of mandates about that. So, and there's certainly other ways to win. You know, let's take a step back here. A couple years ago, they won the American League East. Mm-hmm. So it's not like this is impeding them from winning, but it means they have to be right in a lot more areas, a lot more often than other teams.
Well, let's talk about a guy who's here, and we thought had turned the corner last year. We've now seen a half a season of Kevin Gausman, and we've seen a lot more bad than good. What's going on with him?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about him, because to me, he's kind of the key on the pitching staff, and I think Manny Machado's the key on the other side of the ball to really get going if they're going to do anything. Because, as you mentioned, he really has been a big disappointment, and there's been some positive signs here and there, but when you look at Dylan Bundy, he largely overperformed, especially the first like 2 months or so, and Kevin Gausman just couldn't get it together. So they have got to figure out a way. This guy was the Orioles' best pitcher last year, the final 2 months of the season. So if he can get it together, it would really go a long way towards helping them. I don't know if it's physical or mental. It just seems like a lot of times he was getting ahead of guys 0-2, 1-2, not able to really finish them off. And I do think with baseball, especially with the starting rotation, when guys are struggling, it kind of feeds in as well. The team kind of is like, oh, here we go again. You can kind of sense that. But the Orioles are going to have to consistently get at least into the fifth or sixth inning. Otherwise, they're just not going to go anywhere. The way this bullpen is set up should be better in the second half. But this rotation, and guys like Kevin Gausman, have to take that next step forward. Otherwise, they're just going to continue to shuffle guys in and out, and it's going to be pretty ugly.
Hey, Brittany, one last thing. I saw Ken Rosenthal at a blip this weekend saying that the organization is philosophically opposed to being sellers. If they're sitting there at the end of July and say they're 10 games under, could you see them selling or no?
If they're 10 games out of it?
10 games under 500, say.
Well, if they're 10 games under 500, there's a chance that they're still within striking distance feasibly of the wild card the way it's set up. I mean, they're a couple games under now,
yeah,
and they're still in it. I did read that article as well. I thought it did a nice job of kind of illustrating the fact that they're not really sure what they're going to do at the deadline. They could do nothing, and that, in my opinion, would be a big mistake. But I don't know if they're totally opposed. I think this last run here over the last 5 years of being a competitive team, they really don't like the message it would send to everyone to all of a sudden be sellers. But with that being said, I think if they do end up, like you said, 10 games under and, you know, 8 games out already by August 1st, given what they have, given just where they are, I think it would be really unwise to not look at moving some pieces at that point in time.
Brittany Girelli covers the O's for MLB.com, Orioles.com. Brittany, as always, thank you so much for your time.
All right, guys, thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.